So when it came down to doing my type of thing, the pressure was on, oh, this is what is happening right now. If you want to stay relevant, do this. And it's funny because when I did start, it was like, oh, this is new, it's refreshing. But it felt like just, we want you to be staying popping. Even though this is new, it felt like there was a time limit.
I'm Laura Quiñones. Welcome back to Amplify Her, a podcast from the United Nations with support from SoundCloud. This episode is all about Adoma, a Ghanaian-Nigerian singer, actor, and model. Adoma's musical career began when she started singing covers of songs she liked and recording them on her phone. She came to prominence with the release of a video of her singing in the styles of Ghanaian music from the 60s to the present day. Today, she's seen as a leading light of Afrojazz and alternative music in her home country. She told us how her sound has evolved since her early career and why the pressures of fame nearly saw her turn her back on music altogether.
I didn't think there was anything extraordinary about what I did. I felt like I was in a bubble, in my own bubble, listening to my own music. I wasn't paying attention. It felt like such a refreshing breath of fresh air, basically, in the music space, because nobody was doing anything like that. The music was saturated with the Afro pop, and it had gotten a bit repetitive and monotonous, so people just not craving for something different. It felt like when I started getting more immersed into the industry, I started to realize, oh, this is why. So to now come and have the music blow up, it caught me off guard. And I remember feeling during the buzz, like the first 3 months, I remember having constant anxiety, especially when I went out in public, because I would wish nobody saw me.
Sing it to the children like smoking mirrors, one day you'll be beautiful. One day you'll be beautiful. Smoking mirrors, one day you'll be beautiful. To God,
I'm Ghanaian and Nigerian. Ghana and Nigeria are they're neighbors. There's not much difference, honestly, between both. There's lots of similarities between, but I still think that I'm a good blend of both. I've spent half my life in both countries, 15 years here. I've experienced Nigeria a lot. I was born and raised in Nigeria. I've experienced a lot in Nigeria, and then I moved to Ghana, and I've been here for quite a while.
Adoma.
I sort of have been in a very music background from way back when I was a child, because my parents and my siblings, we used to nickname ourselves the Von Trapp Ajiman. We would like have family moments, and sometimes that would turn into singing, and my dad would raise a song and then we'd start to harmonize and just sing, and it was kind of corny, but it was also a good bonding experience for us. And sometimes we would want to take it up a notch if we had to do, like, maybe go somewhere for a program as a family. So we'd sit down and get a song and learn our parts and sing together, and then we'd come and sing like as a family.
Life, baby. Sometimes do we day, boy, but it never reads in, no matter what. For they come easy. Me and no day like stress.
But everybody else is just something that you do as a hobby. I didn't even really think I was going to. It's just something I enjoyed doing, like, as a hobby. I thought my parents or my family in general would not be supportive, so I hid it. Even though, I mean, we've all had it as a hobby, but taking it professional and doing it as a career, it's a completely different conversation. So I remember hiding that part of me a lot till I realized it started to clash with work. I used to work as a journalist at a TV station here in Ghana, And I used to be invited for small gigs here and there, and I realized it was clashing a lot with my work. So I felt like I needed to decide which I wanted to do. And after a lot of self-reflection, I was like, I wanted to do music. That would mean going to tell my parents, because this is a job that is paying me monthly. But I just built up courage and I went to talk to my dad. And I was so surprised. He was extremely supportive, very supportive. Like, if that's what you want to do, we're here for you. Anything you need. Like, they've been very, very, very supportive. And I didn't expect it, but I consider myself very lucky. Very, very lucky. Growing up, I've been very private. I was even a bit of an introvert. A lot of people who were in my circles, not necessarily friends, just acquaintances, like in school, for example, a lot of people did know me, but nobody knew I did music or I could even perform or even could be very, you know, dramatic or, I don't know, perform. Nobody thought that because I was just this quiet person in a corner. When I was young, I used to listen to a lot of very old school jazz, R&B, and like soul. I feel like that influences a lot of the kind of music I do. I spent more than half my life listening to that, so when it comes to making music, that's exactly what it would sound like. I don't even think I was exposed much to everything else, so it took a while to know what was trending and to get on that. Deep underneath the applause, the thunder, the clapping, I blink, and it's all gone. Lyrically, for me, I'm chronicling or journaling my experiences so far. And so a lot of the content that I've been making is just things that have happened to me and how I felt in those moments and what inspires me or topics that I'm very passionate about, but it's also very, very heavily based on my experiences. So the anxiety, for example, the mental health issues, just the growth, the challenges, that's pretty much where my music is with regards to content and the things I'm writing about. No more, no more. Unfortunately, I didn't come out into the music space with my original songs, so I started doing covers with my spin on popular songs. So when it came down to doing my type of thing, the pressure was on, oh, this is what is happening right now. If you want to stay relevant, do this. And it's funny because when I did start, it was like, oh, this is new, it's refreshing, but it felt like just, we want you to stay popping. Even though this is new, it felt like there was a time limit. Said I'm tired. Oh, yeah. I can't fight it. Lights went out in all the rooms. Just leave. So I did try. I did end up doing all of that. And not that there's anything wrong with that, it just didn't feel very authentic to me. And that actually started to affect me. I had serious mental health issues. It led to me quitting music for a while because it just got too much. I felt like I was losing myself. Music just didn't feel worth it anymore after a while. And so I had to take a break. But now I'm coming back and I feel like I have a better understanding of who I am, my sound, and I'm very unapologetic about it. I realize that it's not something that is for everybody. It's very acquired. But what I'm trying to do now is to market it in a way that can be appealing for everybody. Because if you leave it to the sound, I'm not going to go to what I was before, where it's like I'm trying to do what everybody else is doing so that I can make now. I've been there, done that, but I feel like I have a good sense of who I am right now. Just leave me alone. Why don't you? there's the huge connotation just generally that sex sells. And so it feels like when you're presenting your music or when you're performing or when you're just creating your brand, that has to be a very key point. And sometimes it's put so much above your talent. It would feel like for my male counterparts, they'd be talented singers and everybody would pay attention to the fact that they're talented singers. But for me, if you're not looking too good, then nobody wants to look at you. If you're not dressed right, or there's a time when my manager actually told me I had gone for a rehearsal for a show and I was like performing with the band, and one of the organizers came through and was like, is that what she's doing? Is that how she's going to perform? Like, shouldn't she do a bit more suggestive, you know, type things? There's a lot of that pressure. But I just feel if that's not where your mind is at, or if that's not what you consider your brand, there's added pressure on you. Hey, you staring at me. You don't think I say I just thought of you. And in addition to that, there's also the issue of the amount of money that you're paid. Personally, I put my price card at the point I put my value as a musician. So based on how far I've gone, the things I've learned, and the crafts that I have honed, I put my value in. Most of the time, if you can't pay that, we would discuss, because I'm open to knowing how people think. Whatever it takes at the end of the day, I'll be here. I consider myself blessed because I have quite a number of other things that I do to make money, but some people who do this full time, they don't have the luxury of saying they would reject a gig, and you know, and sometimes, especially for women, these things happen. I would like for it to change, but at this point, I have accepted it as a fact of life. But I hope that as a society and just as people, we would move past that and people would just learn to appreciate art for what it is. You know, be waiting, you the thing. You know, be waiting, you go talk, you go control me. The more you they pull me down, the more they get talking from that guy. Oh, no. They be talking, they talk, they're no fit to me. Because of the way I hopped into the scene, it was for fun. Like, I'm just hanging with my friends, making music, and then all of a sudden it blows up, and you're this quiet person, and you've blown up. I knew what my sound was, but it just felt like so many people had so many inputs in what I was supposed to do. So there are so many people who are giving you advice. You know, if you want to do this, you have to do it. And there's so many advice from so many people, and you're taking this one, you're taking that one, you're taking this one, you don't even know where you are, you're doing. After a while, it just gets too much. I got signed on to a label for a while, and things ended up really bad with them, so it sort of piled on. So I used to have really bad anxiety attacks. It got really bad that if I attempted to sing, I would have an anxiety attack, so I couldn't even sing, even if I wanted to. People don't really recognize it as a thing. They think you're just either being lazy or you're just trying to be difficult. They don't recognize that it's not recognized as an actual ailment or a sickness. Or they just think of it that you're making excuses. But I feel like the times are changing. It has evolved and people are getting a lot more comfortable talking about it. At least now I know who I am, so I feel like it's easier to stand up. When people are advising you, you won't just be inclined to take everything, because you can sift through, okay, this works for me, because you know who you are now, so this works for me. This I'm not so sure, that I'm not so sure. That way you sieve, and it's much better for your sanity, for the art that you're making. I feel like for your music to do well, you kind of need to have fame so people know you to know your music. But I would much rather people know my music than know me, if that's possible. If I had known that this is where my life was going to end up, I probably would have done like a Daft Punk. Like, I'd have a costume or something on my face so that I can do the music. And when I take it off, I can be myself. I probably have gone that route. Unfortunately, I didn't know, so this is where we are. So I have to make do. Sing it to the children, like smoke in their eyes. One day you'll be beautiful. if the stadium, if I can get the big stadium and perform and everybody's focus is just on the music and they leave me alone, that'd be great. But I'd much rather perform to a small intimate gig that I know everybody is very passionate about what I'm doing. I'm not very, you know, the crowds, and that's really not me. I don't know how to function when things get like that. I like a niche crowd, a niche space, just perform for the people who really, really, really do love and enjoy it. And so long as it's doing well in that space, I consider myself successful.
That was Ghanaian Afro Jazz star Adoma. Head to the Amplify Her page on SoundCloud to find this episode alongside a playlist of Adoma's tracks. Next time, we're going to Borneo to meet Alena Murang, an artist with roots in the Dayak Kelavit indigenous community who sings in the endangered Kelavit and Kenaya languages. Amplify Her is dedicated to women and girls everywhere, particularly to those whose dreams and aspirations are unfulfilled due to discrimination and oppression. The empowerment of women and girls is an essential part of the UN's mission. You can find out how the UN is fighting for gender equality worldwide on our website, news.un.org. Amplify Her is hosted by me, Laura Quiñones, and produced by Connor Lennon. Sound design is by Garrett Crow. This episode was made possible by Derek Debru and Evans from Nyege Nyege and Adoma. Thanks to Mita Hosali, Victor Evans Harvey, Matthew Wells, Mark Petimesas, Fang Cheng, Gretchen Corcuera, Takako Nagumo, and Erica Mendez from UN News. And thanks to Shauna Alexander, Emma Lentz, Lauren Holden, and Heather Mundinger from SoundCloud. Amplify Her is a UN News production with support from SoundCloud.